Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you all out in the house of the Lord this evening. Well, Father, I just truly do thank you tonight. I thank you for your awesomeness. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the Godhead. I just thank you that you love us so much that you come here tonight to fellowship with us. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father God, that is here among us tonight to do what he needs to do to your people. I thank you for the angelic host that's walking to and fro among us. And Father, I thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the other night I was sitting there and I was looking up there at Isaiah 61 through 5. Rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. I forgot how many years ago God gave us that, maybe four now. But I just wonder how many of you sit there and look at that and see what God said to us 4 years ago when he gave it to us. I don't think you comprehend what God was telling you at that point, and I don't know if you even received it at that point. And I don't know if you can receive it at this point. Because God's really been having me look at that every service. And God's people don't seem to comprehend what he's saying. And they don't seem to move and flow with the anointing when he has it. Now this morning when you were laying on the floor, and Brother Brett came and blew the shofar very soft. No, it was Brother Adam, I'm sorry. Very softly over you. God said he wanted to drop the gold, right? Drop gold dust upon you. Now I don't know what that was all about, but I guess we'll see in the future what it's all about. But God does so many awesome things to you in this church, and how do you return it back to him? Do you do it by loving him, honoring him, and being a child of God that he's called you forth to be, or it's just a ho-hum existence for you? And you really don't even pay attention to what God's doing. The other night I was going home from church, and that song, No Impossible With You, came on. And that we sang tonight. I think we sang it this morning, too. And God said, there's your rhythm, and there's your sound. So that's the type of songs that we'll be singing. That'll be the rhythm of the music. And that'll be the sound. I've been seeking God's face for quite some time. What's the sound, Lord? And he said, there's a rhythm. And then I listened and he said, and that's the sound. So that's the type of songs we're going to be doing. Aaron's working really hard at getting them to flow properly. And so God can move. Because this is what God wants. It's not what we want. I mean, I love him. But what I'm saying is not what we choose. It's what God chooses. And grace, God said, you need to learn to war with your flags. No more tiptoeing through the tulips. You need to war with your flags now. He told me that too. So, you know, we are in warfare. In case, if you're not, you're going to get there. Believe me, you will. And if you don't know how to war, you're going to go under. And if you don't start really comprehending what God's telling you and taking it deep into your spirit, man, you're going to go under also. Tonight, God told me that he said, I said, what are you going to teach on, God? He's infirmity of the mind. Now, I thought, what in the world is infirmity of the mind? So here we go. Philippians 4, 4 through 8 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is very important to know so that you don't have infirmity of the mind, this scripture. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, if you do the top part. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. If you're going to have a free mind, you're going to have to know Philippians 4, 4 through 8, because this is your answer to having a mind that is healed and pure. Now, this is what God said. My body is suffering from what I call infirmity of the mind. This is where the mind is in a state of constant illness from the lack of knowledge of the word. See, if you don't know Philippians 4, 4 through 8, that's what's the problem with your mind. This illness causes all kinds of other infirmities to enter into the body through the thought process. This infirmity of the mind must be totally destroyed by the anointing of my word and by the blood of the Lamb. See that? That's the way it has to be destroyed. Now, Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but who can bear a wounded spirit? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but who can bear a wounded spirit? Every person, sooner or later, has some kind of infirmity to bear. It may be that from the very beginning, from the very beginning your life began, that your makeup will be inclined to certain disease and pains, or possibly in passing through life, they may suffer from accident or decline in health. However, they may never have any infirmity of the body. They may enjoy the great blessings of health, but they may have what is even worse, which is an infirmity of the mind. There will be something about each person's infirmity which they would alter if they could, or if they should not have any infirmity of body or of mind. They will have a cross to carry of some kind. It could be in their relatives, in their business, or in certain of their circumstances. Our world is not the Garden of Eden, and we cannot make it to be so. That's what I thought whenever I first got born again, didn't you? Oh, it's going to be hunky-dory. But it wasn't, and it isn't, all right? The world is like that garden in this respect, that the serpent is in it. You know, the serpent's in the world. And the trail of the serpent is over everything here. I am persuaded there is no man in this world who does not have trial in some form or other. Every one of us go through some trial at some time, over and over and over again. Not just one, but many. It is a seat of the intellect, the will, and the emotion. It is where we think, feel, and decide. The mind, it is a seat of the intellect, the will, and the emotion, is where we think, feel, and decide. It is also the place where all of the conflicts we face in this life begin, in our minds, right? We know that the mind is the ultimate battlefield of life. The Lord, the flesh, and the devil are all battling for our minds. Why does the battle rage there? Because Proverbs 23:7 tells us, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever you are thinking in this little pea brain up here, that's what you become. All right? What you have to understand is that the spirit of infirmity that has settled in the mind can create the pressure of making bad decisions in relationships. If you want a stable, fixed mind, the only place to get it is in the Word of God. Isn't that what God said in the very beginning? How the mind could be healed? He said, this illness causes all kinds of other infirmities to enter into the body through the thought process. This infirmity of the mind must be totally destroyed by the anointing of my Word and the blood of the Lamb. All right? All right, if you want a stable, fixed mind, the only place to get it is in the Word of God. We must take the initiative. We must take the initiative and force the mind to dwell on the Bible and what it says instead of allowing the mind to run to evil or gossip or others and what they are doing or our problems. We have a responsibility to make our minds straighten up. A mind saturated with and fixed upon the Word of God is a stable mind. mind. That's why the devil doesn't want you reading the Word of God, because your mind won't be stable if it's not saturated with the Word of God. Spiritual deformity takes on a lot of different shapes. It would almost be like the pool at Bethesda, where there were the blind, the maimed, and the halt. See, when your mind's messed up, you have a spiritual deformity. Every man will have to bear an infirmity of some kind or other. We just do. To bear that infirmity is not difficult when the spirit is sound and strong. Because we just read where the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But when the spirit gets wounded, we end up with an infirmity of the mind. And how many times has God talked about wounded spirits? And a lot of people that get deliverance have wounded spirits. But when the spirit gets wounded, we end up with an infirmity of the mind. A wounded spirit is injury to any area of our soul or spirit faculties, our mind, our emotions, and our will. A wounded spirit is injury to any area of our soul or spirit faculties, our mind, our emotions, and our will. It is injury to the unseen areas of our being. The only way others can see the injury is how we behave and conduct ourselves. In other words, you could have a really big battle going on inside in your spirit, but nobody will ever know it unless we act it out. I have noticed people in the body of Christ can hide things very well until they become so putrid that they have to start acting out. All right? At least one area inside of us may be more affected than the others. In other words, you could have one great big thing in there wounding your spirit and have a whole lot of little things in there wounding your spirit. But that big thing is one that's going to act out first. All right, handicapped minds can take place in a lot of different ways. Now, this is why you get an infirmity of the mind. Things that happened in the past can warp our sense of perspective. The things are parents who divorced and left a feeling of abandonment. Child abuse that was physical, emotional, and even sexual. The pain of being left out and rejected. Expectations that were left unfulfilled. Having to fight for everything. A spouse who married you but refused to love you. These all cause infirmities in your mind. A spouse who cheated and made you feel like you were the cause. A father who failed to be a leader, or a mother who failed to nurture. These are all things that cause infirmities of the mind. And there's still more. But these are the ones that I wrote down. All of those things working together can destroy a sense of trust that needs to be present in life. Remember the time when God told me, "You don't trust me?" Because I'd gone through so many of these things, I must have had an infirmity of the mind at that point, and I didn't trust God, I didn't trust anybody, all right? All of these things working together can destroy a sense of trust that needs to be present in life. We need to trust. God told me, if you're going to work for me, you need to trust the people around you. Whether they're trustworthy or not, I have to trust them, all right? Then you come to a church and you have to interact with imperfect people, and it is hard to ever bring yourself to trust again. This is what you think. I've been hurt before and I won't ever be hurt again. At this point, the spirit of infirmity locks onto your mind. Are you seeing what's going on here? Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And God's been saying it even in the daily word. He's been saying it over the pulpit, that we are supposed to be rejoicing always. Paul tells believers, no matter what life throws you, go on being glad in the Lord. You'll find that Philippians 4:4-8. Paul tells believers, no matter what life throws you, go on being glad in the Lord. We need to come to grips with the fact that much of life does not lend itself to our happiness. The only thing that's going to bring you happiness is God and your fellowship with Him. When Paul penned these words, he was bound between two soldiers in a Roman prison. Still, Paul, you know, when he says rejoice always, still Paul knew that regardless of the circumstances of life, God never changes. Paul did not allow his prison confinement to settle in his mind. He knew that circumstances will change and life constantly changes, but the Lord never changes. Since this is true, we can learn to rejoice in who God is, what God has done for us, and what God is doing in our lives. Even if the road is hard, remember that He has planned your path. If we can remember that, we will not get an infirmity in our mind. Don't allow the circumstances of life cause an infirmity in your mind. I hope this is... opens up your mind a little bit tonight in your knowledge that God wants. And I hope you understand this because it will bring you much freedom. It did me studying it. Remember that He has planned God has planned your life, and you'll find it in Psalms 37:23. God has promised to make all things work for good. Romans 8:28. God has promised to go with you through everything in life. Hebrews 13:5. God has promised you abiding victory. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 15:57 and Romans 8:37. God has promised us that the destination will be worth every mile of the trip. And you'll find that in Romans 8:18 and 2 Corinthians 4:17. Therefore, even when you can't be happy about your life, learn to be happy in the Lord. Build the wall of praise. I didn't build the wall of praise tonight. I got messed up. You have to learn to, no matter what's going on around about you, start rejoicing and start praising. We all have met a lot of people in life who have an infirmity of the mind. Now, since you know what this is all about, you can say yes. They have allowed some handicap or setback get into their minds in such a way that it has made them bitter, complaining, and self-centered. Say that again. They have allowed some handicap or setback get into their minds in such a way that it has made them bitter, complaining, and self-centered. As time passes, the incentives of life no longer motivate them. They have sunk into depression and become cynical. When you talk to them, they have become critical, pessimistic, and unhappy. Every area of their life has been affected by this infirmity of the mind. See that? See yourself in that? Don't say, that's that person. No, see yourself in that. See yourself in that. Not another person, yourself. If you're saying, that's where they're at, then you have a problem. You have an infirmity in your mind too, because you're always critical of somebody else. All right? Personal wars go on inside of people because of events that took place years ago. And we read that, right? There comes a time in all of our lives that God understands the struggles. He reads our stories. He understands our infirmities. He knows our deepest hurts. He sees our maladies. He knows the force of our temptations. He has insight into the darkest storms and battles of our soul. How do I know this? Because I've gone through all that, and He's always there. He always knows beforehand, and He's always there to help, not hinder. I said there comes a time in all of our lives that God understands the struggles. You know, if you're bullheaded, gotta let you struggle for a season. But if you're quick to be to repent and be obedient, God doesn't let you struggle. You might be going through your trials and tribulations, but God will be there with you, leading, guiding, and directing all your footsteps. So how bullheaded are you? You know, you have to ask yourself that question while you keep going around that same mountain over and over again. When Jesus visits the church, the change in dungeons the devil had worked to build for 18 years can come crashing down immediately. And I wrote that. I was reading about the woman with the issue of blood for 18 years, all right? So I said, when Jesus visits a church, the chains and dungeons the devil had worked to build for 18 years can come crashing down immediately. It will not take the Lord 18 seconds to rip down what the devil has been working on for years to destroy you. That's why sometimes God will move upon me to say pray a certain thing over somebody. It's because they are in that condition, and God is there right at that moment tearing down what the enemy has built up. God is setting them free. Excuse me. That is why we need the Lord to show up every time that we have church. Faith and deliverance need to be at work in the church. There needs to be people who speak with tongues, shout with joy, and pursue the authority that can only come from heaven. When braces come off of the mind. I recently read a story of a prominent newspaper reporter that had to overcome some huge obstacles in his life. At a very young age, he was smitten with polio that left him with braces on his legs. As he grew older, he realized that he could not run or climb trees like other boys. Little by little, he began to feel he could not keep up in the race of life or climb the ladder of success like others could. What was happening to him was that those braces on his legs were getting into his mind. His father had told him that someday he would carry him to a big church in the city, and there he would be healed. Finally, the day came. As he walked down the aisles, his braces went thump, thump, thump. The people looking his way made him feel very self-conscious. They knelt at the altar, and very earnestly his father prayed. After a while, the father turned to the boy and said, "Son, I have the answer. You have been healed." They got up and started back up the aisle, but his braces were still going thump, thump, thump. He could not tell any difference. But before they got out of the church, a feeling came over him that he was all right, that in spite of the braces, he could be a successful man. From that moment on, he went to be very successful in life. What happened was that though God left the braces on his legs, he took them out of his mind. Are you seeing this? God might not remove the thorn in the flesh, but he takes that thorn out of your mind. Jesus did for him what he did for the woman with the issue of blood for 18 years. He said to her, "Thou art loosed from thine infirmity." God had set the man's mind free from constantly dwelling on his braces on his legs. And the fact he couldn't be like normal people, and he became a very, very successful man. Are you listening here? A lot of you are wanting God to remove the braces off your leg when he needs to get them out of your mind. And you, what you needed, I'm hearing God say you need a brand new mindset, and he's been trying to do that for years, but you won't yield so he can do that for you. You keep thinking about your infirmity. And that's your mind is what's keeping you bound. There is not a person in this place tonight who does not have an infirmity of some kind. But I also have to tell you this, there is never a situation that God's power cannot make us able to overcome. There is not a person in this place tonight who does not have an infirmity of some kind. But I also have to tell you this, there is never a situation that God's power cannot make us able to overcome. Your mind is a precious gift from God, It can be used for good or for evil, and all the forces of good and evil are battling for your mind all the time. Who wins the battle is always determined by you. No one can control your mind but you. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You gave him your mind to use, and you did it. We are told in the Bible that we need to fortify the mind. It is our job individually, and it cannot be passed off to another. I can't fortify your mind. I can't make you think properly. I can't make you do the things you're supposed to do. Believe me, I have two young boys. I keep trying to make them do what they're supposed to do. They won't do it. They had to make up their mind. I'm going to do this thing this way. All right? This is a very critical matter because how you think determines how you will live your life. How you think is how you're going to live your life. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We are to see that our minds are in love with Jesus. It's our job to see that. Matthew 22:37. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is a great and first commandment. See, and the problem of the body of Christ is you've never taken that first step yet. And that's why you have that sin nature that you have. And that's why you can't love others the way you should, is because you have not. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is a great and first commandment. Are you listening to what I'm saying here tonight? Until the mind is settled, all of life is out of control. James 1:8 says, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if you don't get your mind settled, then you're unstable in everything you do because you don't think properly about anything. All right? All right, so I said, until the mind is settled, all of life is out of control. And James 1:8 says, he is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. So what we have here is a call to fix our minds upon the things of God. All right. How did God say the infirmity in the mind was going to be healed? By saturating your mind with his word, right? So what we have here is you have to fix your mind on the word of God. In other words, if we will fill our minds with the words of God, there will be no room for evil, no room for worry, no room for fear, no room for vengeance, no room for confusion and trouble. A mind filled with and led by the word of God is a stable mind. God's promise to us is that he will replace our worries with his peace when we come before him in trusting, humble prayer. God's promise to us is that he will replace our worries with his peace when we come before him in trusting, humble prayer. And Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust. We have to trust. You can't really trust people, but you can trust God. And you can trust God to take care of those people. All right? And so they don't have to be an infirmity in your mind. Oh, God, here they come again. You know what I'm saying? All you can think about is what they were, what they're going to do or say. And you might be surprised. That might be this time when they come, they're going to be happy and excited and not be moaning, groaning, and complaining. And they might be some peace to you that day. All right. The word keep in verse 3 means to garrison or build a fort around, to post a guard. So God said, you keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So the word keep in verse 3 means to garrison or build a fort around, to post a guard. Now, you can't ask for any more than that, right? The Lord promises to post a guard around the heart and mind of the person who trusts him with the needs of life. Instead of worrying yourself sick about things you can't change, learn to lean on the Lord in prayer. Build the wall of prayer. When we allow all the junk of life to dwell in our minds, we end up with what God calls infirmity of the mind. Tonight I challenge you to fortify your minds. You can be loose from your infirmity in your mind. You can be. But you have to make that decision that you want to be. My kids are never going to change. That's an infirmity in your mind. As long as you feel like that, they just might never. You might be keeping them bound. See that? God said, I want to lift every infirmity off of your minds tonight. I want to take that pain from the past, and I want to wash it with the watering of my word and the blood of my son, Jesus. Will you give me that infirmity? And that infirmity is all those things that happened to you all your life that's piled up there in your mind, and anytime the enemy wants to, he pulls one of those things out for you to dwell on. Will you allow me, God said, will you allow me to release you totally and completely from this infirmity of the mind that has been there, lo, these many years? Will you be like the woman with the issue of blood? Will you allow my anointing to touch you and make you whole? Some of us have worried about money so long that that's all you can think about is your money situation, your finances. But it's there. Yeah, as long as you have that infirmity in your mind about it, it's going to stay there. The minute you start trusting God, it's going to go away, and God's going to start blessing you financially. It's up to you whether your mind is whole or whether it's bound. When God gave me this title, I thought, now where in the world is this going to? But I thought it was very interesting, to tell you the truth. And I think it's time that we allow God to really go deep in, just like he this morning went deep into our hearts. I think it's time we allow him to go deep into our minds and radically, is what I'm hearing him say, remove all those thoughts that you have in there that the enemy has brought in from years of experience, both good, bad, and indifferent. And he wants to set your mind totally and completely free. He said, because until your mind is free, I can't use you. It's that simple. If your mind's bound, you can't hear God properly, because you're going to have all this mixture of all the junk that you're thinking about, and God's trying to talk to you, and everything gets jumbled, and next thing you know, you're a mess. All right? And God's saying, some of you in here, you have to go really, really deep into his presence tonight, because your mind is that messed up. Because he wants to do a deep works. A really deep works. So the altar's open tonight for those of you who really want God to go deep into your mind and get that infirmity of the mind cleared up. Get all those things that's happened in your lifetime out of your mind, your will, and your emotions, and set you totally and completely free so you can be a vessel of honor that he can work through. Now remember, only you can cause this to happen. God can't. God even wants you to give him what transpired, even between services, those things that transpired that upset you. He wants you to give, thank you for him. He wants you to give those to him. Let him go in there and take those things right now. And he's saying this is a season of total and complete freedom. So if you really want total and complete freedom, this is a season. And God's also saying some of you even, these things in your mind, they're even idols to you, and you worship these things because they bring you peace, because you can blame others for the state that you're in.